If you would turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 3, verse 14, and I'm just going to open us with a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, we love you and we bless you. We thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you've promised Jesus that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And so we're here this morning, Jesus, to receive from you your love, your life, your word. The knowledge of the Holy One. Come, Holy Spirit, testify to us of Jesus today. We need you, and we love you. We love your word. We love your teaching. We love your presence, and we love how you change us, and you're making us new every day. And we thank you so much for that, and we just want to be faithful this morning to hear from you, to receive what you want to impart to us, and to respond rightly to you. So come, Holy Spirit. I just pray today, Lord, that there would just be a greater aligning, Father, with your work on the earth in our day. And Lord, we ask just for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are, just to rest on us now in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in the third and final part of a series we've been going through, being a family with him and on his mission. And so this is what we do once a year, where we press pause and we talk about our cultural values as a people, why we do what we do, and why we do what we do the way we do it, because these things matter. And understanding the heart behind are what makes us just distinctive as a people, and the things that we value, and the way we perceive things, and the way we look at things. And so it's a time at the beginning of the year just to re-embrace, to refresh, to renew in our minds what God has called us to do and be here as a people. And so we talk about, and it's based out of Mark 3:14, and you could see there that he appointed 12, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. And so we see, first of all, that there is a corporate aspect to this. There is a fellowship. There's a group. There's a gathering. It's not just the idea that we are individuals who just sort of come together once a week and then go out from here and live our lives individually, but we're called to be a corporate expression of Christ on the earth. And the scripture gives us three pictures of what that's supposed to look like, what it means to be together. And the first one we talked about is that we are living stones, and we're called to have our lives built into one another. And as we build our lives into one another through shared experiences like this weekend or different opportunities, home groups, or even this morning, we're allowing our lives to be built together. And the result is that there will be a greater manifestation of the presence of God among us because our lives are interconnected. The other picture that scripture gives us is that we're a body. And as such, each part has a special work to do in serving and helping the other parts grow. So you being a part of this body here means that you have a very special and a specialized job, a work to do, serving this body to help it grow so that the body of Christ would be healthy and growing and full of love. So we're called to allow our lives to be built into one another. We're called to serve one another. And the third picture is that we would be a family. And the dynamics of family is that we're devoted to one another in love, which means that we love each other. We're devoted to one another. We serve one another despite our weaknesses. We're not devoted to one another because we like one another. We're devoted to one another because we love one another. And we're choosing love. We're choosing to be kind and compassionate, to forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave us. So you can imagine that we are called to be together. We're called to be this corporate expression, having our lives built together, serving one another, and loving one another. We're this body, and this body walks and moves on two legs. He called them that they might be one with him. They called him to that might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. So this body, it moves on these two legs, being with him and being sent out to preach, being with him. And by being with him, we talk about that we would see him, that we would hear him, that we would know him, that we would have a revelation of his glory and be completely blown away by it. That there would be this intimate fellowship with him, that we would see him, hear him, know him, and just be transformed by his glory. And the other is that we would be sent out to preach. And these are two legs, and they work together. Sometimes we've made the mistake in Christianity where we've got certain groups that emphasize one or the other, but that's actually just not the way it was intended to be, that the two go hand in hand, the two working cooperation with each other, being with him and on his mission, being with him and sent out to preach. Let me give you an example of what this might look like, but I'm bivocational, and so thank God I'm not here at the church office 40 hours a week, but I actually get to get out and talk to real people. And so I'm busy at my job, but there an email will come in, and Jen will give me a call, and she said, "Hey, there's a situation. I think it needs to be just responded to quickly. Here is what it is." And I say, "Listen, I'm real busy. Would you be willing to write this email, ... Here's what I want to say. Just go ahead and sign my name to it." So if you ever get an email from me that where I sound smarter than usual and I'm like so grammatically correct, it's amazing, and then it's signed "Love You Bunches, Aaron," you know that it came from her. It was from me through her, because it's true. I do love you bunches. But what is she doing? There's a dynamic of fellowship, of communion, of communication, interaction, finding my heart, finding my mind, and then expressing it and signing my name to it. She's saying, this is what in Aaron's name is what needs to be communicated here. And we understand that there's this coming in and going out. There's this searching out and then speaking and sharing it. That's the same way with Jesus. We come to be with him. We search his heart. We search his mind. And then we share what's on his heart and on his mind. Sometimes we'll have a decision to make, and maybe something we're going to buy or something we're going to do. And she'll call me up. She said, there's two or three options. One's more expensive, but it has these options. And this one's cheaper, but it's junk and all this. And so again, she's searching out my heart and mind. I'm making it sound a lot more one-sided than it is. She has very much a voice in this as well. But the same thing is heart and mind. We come into agreement. We come into unity together. And then she says, "All right, my husband and I, this is what we're going to do." And so it's this fellowship, it's this intimacy, it's this being with him, it's this joining together and then acting in my name, acting in my authority, acting according to my heart and my mind. And this is what we're talking about when we think of being with him and on his mission, being with him and on his mission. And these things aren't isolated, or they're not working against each other, but they're working in cooperation. We see this in Jesus's life. There's a phrase from the group of churches that we're a part of where Jesus even sent two to go get a donkey. That's simple. But he's operating from the two of them, right? That from being with him, he sends them out together in community from the place of fellowship with him. When he would send them out on ministry and they would return, he would say, "Now come away with me to a quiet place so I can give you rest." And then he would send them out again. And when they would return, he would say, "Now come away with me. I want to teach you things." And so what we see is this going out, this coming in, this going out. It's being with him and on mission, being with him and on mission. We're referred to as a kingdom of priests sometimes. And oftentimes I've just heard that expressed in a very simple way, but I think it's really incomplete. The idea of being a kingdom of a priest, the priesthood of every believer, is the fact that I can just meet with God and I don't need any man to be an intercessor for me. I can just go straight to God. That's absolutely true and that's wonderful. But here's the larger picture. Priests minister to God on behalf of man. And priests minister to man on behalf of God. When we're joined with Christ by the Holy Spirit, we join him in being that conduit, that interface. We join him in building that bridge between heaven and earth. We join him in cooperation with bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. We're with him and we're on his mission. There's a coming in and a going out. The two are completely intertwined. They're not working against each other. So, what was Jesus's mission? And so we're going to look today in Acts chapter 10. Verse 38, and this is Peter speaking, and he says, "We know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." And if you'll notice that there are this whole statement that Peter makes, that there are these two parenthetical phrases at the beginning and the end that give the context of Jesus' ministry, that he was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and power. And then at the end it says that God was with him. So again, you have this dynamic of being with him, God with us with God. But what is amazing here, what speaks to us, what I hope today will enlighten us and just reveal the heart of God for us, is this title that Peter gives Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. He could have said Jesus Christ or Jesus the Messiah. He could have said Jesus the Son of God. But Peter here seems to emphasize the complete humanity of Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. Let me take a little sidestep so we can understand, but we believe in something that's referred to as the dual nature of Christ, that Christ was both fully God and fully man, simultaneously, fully at the same time. Now, you might be wondering, how is that possible? And I'll tell you, you're in good company because theologians have tried to navigate and work this out for centuries. But boiling it down to the basic idea, as best as I can communicate it, so it's kind of like if you've ever arm wrestled with your kids, right? And you're like, oh, and then, oh, you got me, right? Now they know and you know that you could just end them all day long without even giving any effort. But you restrain it. You hold it back. You bring yourself down. You subject yourself to their weakness and their limitations. So Jesus, being fully God, actually restrained his omnipotence, restrained his omniscience, restrained his omnipresence, restrained all his power and his glory, and subjected himself completely to human weakness and human limitations. Which means that when Jesus taught, he taught as a man, fully reliant upon the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was persecuted, when he was rejected, when he suffered, when he endured the cross, he did so as a man, but was completely reliant upon the Holy Spirit. When Jesus performed a miracle, when he walked on water, he did it as a man, fully reliant upon the Holy Spirit. And even when he rose from the grave, it was by the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead. He was risen as a man by the power of the Holy Spirit. If he wasn't fully a man, if he was just God in a man suit going around doing God things, then there would be no need for God to anoint him with the Holy Spirit and with power. But the neat thing is this, is that if he was a man fully reliant upon the Holy Spirit and he is our example that we're to follow, then the only way we can imitate Christ is by being fully reliant upon the Holy Spirit. Which means that when we're called to do the things that Jesus did, it means that he has given us, his divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. The Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is in us. And listen, it's no coincidence that we are now referred to as the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Christ, that we are to walk and move. And by the Spirit, we've been given the nature of Christ. We've been given the mind of Christ. He's working in us more of the nature of Christ, that the works of Christ would continue in his church. Which is amazing. Because you realize that when Christ gives us the Great Commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to make disciples, to teach everything that he's taught us, that means that there is no getting this done without the church clothed in power from on high. Which should send every one of us running to him saying, Lord, I want the fullness of what you've given me in the Holy Spirit. I want all of it because I need it to fulfill the mission that you started. Jesus, if he was not fully human, then it's completely unrealistic to expect the church to act like he did. But Jesus says this. He said, listen, I'm going to the Father and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so that the works I do, you will do. And in fact, because I go to the Father and am sending the Holy Spirit, even greater works that I do, you will do. So we need to understand this context about God anointing Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, and God being with Jesus. And as we are now called to fulfill His mission on the earth, that we understand we are in desperate need of the exact same anointing and power that God gave Jesus. And it's also interesting this, that Jesus, when He ascended to the Father, like He's been with His disciples 3 years. He's taught them, He's trained them, He's spoken to them, He's rebuked them, He's corrected them, He's sent them out, and they've experienced doing the same things that He's done. But He doesn't just ascend and say, "All right, boys, get to it." He actually says, "Wait. Go to Jerusalem and wait until you are clothed with power from on high. Then you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." So we understand again this context of the anointing, of the power and the Holy Spirit on us as a church. That's absolutely necessary for fulfilling Jesus' mission. But then we look at what He did. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. He calls us to do good. This phrase, doing good, I'm not even going to pretend to, or even try and impress you by pronouncing the Greek word, but the idea behind it is philanthropy. It's loving humanity. It's serving humanity. It's lifting humanity up out of its depravity. It's seeking the good and the best for humanity. In the context of the kingdom, it's actually restoring kingdom order to things. Do you understand that we are now clothed with power, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and we're called to bring the kingdom of heaven and its order. When we talk about the kingdom of heaven, sometimes we just think of Jesus on a white horse coming down, setting everything straight, bossing everybody around, and everything gets put in place. But actually, He's called us to administrate His kingdom come on the earth now as it is in heaven. And there's a lot of things, we've talked about them already this morning, that are out of order. There are a lot of things that are unjust. There are a lot of things that are incorrect, that aren't as they should be. But He's anointed His church with the Holy Spirit and with power. He has joined Himself to His church so that we could do good, so that we could put things back in order. And so I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about your peer group. I want you to think about the friends, maybe outside of this body, people that you hang around with. Maybe you go hiking with them. Maybe you just have coffee with them. Maybe you get together for whatever. But you know, sometimes the conversation turns to gossip. Sometimes the conversation is not edifying at all. Sometimes there are just inappropriate things that begin to take place there. But God has sent you to do good. God has sent you, He has placed you in that group to restore kingdom order, so that things that would be appropriate would be discussed, things that would be edifying would be brought, that the glory of the knowledge of God would be present there. And it's so hard sometimes, isn't it? Because we feel that pressure and we're like, you know what? If I say this, it's just going to upset everybody. They're not going to like me. They're going to reject me. But He's actually given you the ministry of reconciliation. He's actually anointed you with the Holy Spirit and with power to speak to that situation. Guys, we shouldn't be dogging somebody out like this. This is inappropriate. It's not kind. Maybe you're in a classroom. Maybe you're in school. And you have the opportunity, and everybody around you thinks it's okay to try and get by with as little work as possible. Everybody around you thinks it's okay to cheat or to try and do whatever you can to get out of work. But you're come to restore kingdom order. You've been anointed by the Holy Spirit with power to be His representative, to do good, to restore kingdom order to that place. And so guess what? You're salt, you're light in that place, and you're diligent in your studies. And you're righteous in how you labor. Maybe you're in the workplace and you know what? Everybody around you is trying to cheat the clock, or they hate their boss, and all sorts of ungodliness that goes on. But you're there to do good. You're there to restore kingdom order. You've been anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power to be light to that situation. Maybe you've encountered something like this where, you know, hey, could you go put this away? And you go to put it on the shelf and you realize that everything's out of order there. Like somebody at one point was just lazy and just tossed it up there. And so the next person that came, they said, I can't toss it up there. And so what you've got is generations of laziness that have now just displayed themselves. But you're there to restore order. You can just simply take a moment just to, let's put things away properly. And it changes the dynamic and it brings healing and light and life. You've been placed in a neighborhood. God has set you there. And there are things that are out of order in that neighborhood. Perhaps there's a single mom that's struggling to raise her kids and provide for them and pay their bills. Perhaps there's an elderly person who's just lonely. These are areas where we can do good, where we can bring kingdom justice and kingdom light and life. We are anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power to speak, to act towards these situations, to do good, to restore kingdom order. And then there's our community as well. There are things that are out of order here. And we have the opportunity to do good. We've been anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power to do good. There's a gentleman that attended here many years ago, even before Jen and I started coming here. But he had a problem. There used to be this thing called video stores. And it's kind of like a Red Box. Only in Red Box, they bring all the movies to you. In a video store, you could go in and the movies were all around you. Like you could touch the movies. You could pull them off the shelf and put them back. It's amazing. I don't know why they ever got rid of them. Yeah, you could. There have been people I know who returned a video and then wanted to rent the same one out because you drop it off at the door and you're like, oh, this one looks good. Anyway, but in the back of the video store, there was a door with a curtain over it, and that's where they rented porn. But there's a gentleman in this body who went to work and brought legislation in place over our county that banned the renting or selling of pornography in Stevens County. You've been anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. God is with you to do good, to restore kingdom order. To your peer group, to your classroom, to your workplace, to your neighborhood, to your community. This is his mission, and he's actually joined himself with us and joined us with him to accomplish it. And he's given us the power of his Spirit to do it. Now that's great, but it's actually so much more. Now let me pause there before we go too much further. And so what are we to do with this? And here's the thing, it's real simple, but it shifts everything for us. Is that as you start your day, you say, Holy Spirit, I'm about to go to school. Holy Spirit, I'm about to go to work. I'm about to have this interaction. I'm about to go into this community. I'm about to go into this meeting. What is the good you would have me to do? Because when you just start with that simple prayer, you've opened up, you've already postured yourself to hear from him. Because we can sit here and we can get overwhelmed by all the problems, all the situations, or we can be with him on his mission. And guess what? Today, he's got a situation he wants you to speak to. Today, he's got a situation he's called you into that he wants you to do something about. And see, it kind of takes all the pressure off because we can watch the news, we can get overwhelmed, or we could just say, God, you've planted me in this situation to do good. What would you have me to do? And see, that everybody can do that. The youngest of us here could do that. The most uneducated of us here can do that. The weakest Christian here can do that. And so he may not speak to you right in that moment, but because you've already postured yourself to be listening, to be engaged with him, to hear him, to follow him, throughout the day, you're going to come into a moment and he's going to quicken in your heart. This is it. I want you to do good right here. Because I've clothed you with the Holy Spirit. I've anointed you with the Holy Spirit and with power. What is the good you would have me to do? But it was more than that. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Now we think healing and we just think physical healing, or we hear under the power of the devil and we think just the demonized. But like we're called to be kingdom restorers, we're also called to be kingdom healers. And healing in the Old Testament, the word was Rapha, and altars were healed, and land was healed, and water was healed, and in homes when they were cleansed of mold were healed. The idea of healing, it was physical, it was spiritual, it was restoration, it was wholeness, it was making things new. And Jesus on the cross, that he was pierced for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we were healed. It's the whole picture. It's wholeness. It's the whole person, mind, body, soul, spirit, wholeness, healing. And he's called us into each of these situations. He's called us into these peer groups to minister healing. He's called us into these classrooms to minister healing. He's called us into these workplaces to minister healing. He's called us into this community to minister healing. He's anointed us with the Holy Spirit and with power to bring wholeness, to bring restoration, to bring healing. And so, again, I want you to think about your peer group and where has the devil ruled to bring malice, to bring division, to bring sin, because God has placed you there. He's given you a sphere of influence. He's given you a reach into this group to be light and to be life, to bring healing, to bring restoration, wholeness. In your workplace, in your neighborhood, in this community, he's planted you. He's drawn you here. It was never my intention to land here. We always had dreams of going somewhere else. But God shut down every door, except for this one. Okay, God. You could be miserable anywhere, but you can only be satisfied in his will. So here I am. You've placed me here. St. Francis of Assisi said, Lord, make me a minister of your peace. He's placed us in each of these situations. He's anointed us with the Holy Spirit and with power to bring healing. There are people all around us we see that are broken, that are addicted, that lives are a mess. And he's planted you there. And he's anointed you with the Holy Spirit and with power to bring healing, to speak, to minister. You know, sometimes we get, if I pray, they might get weirded out. Most people, you say, can I pray for you? They're going to think it's a nice, polite, religious thing to do. And they're just going to say, oh, sure, okay. And maybe nothing happens, but maybe something does. We're not called to determine the results. We're just called to obey. We're just called to bring healing. We're just called to move in his reality. He's anointed us with the Holy Spirit and with power and placed us there to bring life and healing. And so again, as you start your day, as you just even before anything happens, Lord, I'm about to get on the school bus. Lord, I'm about to get out of my car and walk into this ungodly workplace. God, I'm connected with these community groups and you've placed me here. Where do you want to bring healing? Because I want to move with you on your mission. I want to do the things that you did, Jesus, because that's why you gave me the Holy Spirit. Where do you want to bring healing? Where would you like me to speak? And what I love about this idea of shifting things like this, I wanted to make it, you know, we can sit here and say, God's going to win Tekoa. God's going to save the whole world. God's going to save our school. God's going to, yeah, that's the goal. And we're praying for that. And we're believing God to just completely transform our community. But the first step is just simply reaching those within our sphere of influence. Jesus says, you know, if you're faithful with little, you'll be entrusted with much, much more. And so we can cry out for the much, much more, but we have to be intentional today about the little we've been given. Our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, other members in our community. And what I like about this too is it just destroys all the excuses. All of them. Because you've been anointed by the Holy Spirit and power to do good and heal all those who are oppressed by the devil. And so this idea that, well, I'm not really an evangelist. I'm more of an introvert. I'm bashful. I'm shy. I get my words all mumbled up. Guess what? His power and His Holy Spirit completely blows right past your being an introvert. That's the great thing about it. In fact, if you're an introvert, you're more qualified. In your weakness, He perfects His power. So if you're shy, and if you get your words mumbled up, and if you feel awkward, and that's where He goes. I'm not a pastor because I'm super spiritual. I'm just weak enough to be useful. That's it, right? And so it's not about you. It's not about your personality. It's not about your charisma. It's not about you having all the biblical facts figured out. In fact, when the Holy Spirit came on the church, they were hiding. They were full of fear. Peter was a hothead. You couldn't control what was coming out of his mouth. But the Holy Spirit came upon the church and He spoke with boldness. What I like about this is sometimes we think, oh, this area, it's just too religious. We're in the Bible Belt. Everybody's saved. We've been over-evangelized. People are done with religion. They're tired of it. That sounds like an open door. Because what they need is power. What they need is life. What they need is light. What they need is healing. Sometimes we're like, oh, Gen Z, millennials, what do we do with them? You know what? They're no different than us. They want something real. They want something substantive. They want something tangible. They want something that's going to shake the earth, turn it on its head. And we've been anointed by the Holy Spirit with power. God is with us. We want to be on His mission. Sometimes we say, oh, you just the demonic stronghold over this area is just too strong. The darkness, it's just too powerful. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Well, except when the demons are too strong for it. Man, He made a spectacle of the demonic powers when He rose from the grave. He embarrassed them. He shamed them. And the weapons of our warfare are powerful. They're mighty for tearing down strongholds. If the demonic powers are too strong here, then it's time we get to work. And again, it's just being with Him and on His mission. What is the good You've called me to do? Where do You want to bring healing? Where have You placed me? Because I want to be Your minister of peace. You've anointed me with the Holy Spirit and with power. The worst thing we could do is walk out of here and do nothing different. But we could say, this is the reality that You've given to Your church, and I want to make the most of it. I want my life to count for something. I want to give myself to something that's worth dying for. I want to see God move in an amazing way. Let's not return to quiet lives where we raise good moral citizens. Let's continue to be with Him and on His mission. Holy Spirit, we love You. Thank You, Lord, that not only have You given us, not only have You cleansed us, not only have You given us new life, Lord, but You've invited us to join You, Lord, in bringing Your kingdom on the earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we want to be faithful stewards of that job, Lord. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we don't want to live ordinary lives. Now, Lord, we long to see your power and your glory manifested in us and through us. Lord, we long for the knowledge of God to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And Father, we ask, Lord, that here now, not only through Grace Fellowship, but through your church in Tekoa, God, we ask that the knowledge of you would cover Tekoa as the waters cover the sea. God, we ask you, Father, for an outpouring of your Spirit on us as a people. God, we ask you for revival. Lord, we ask you for salvation of souls. We ask you, Father, for your light to shine through in the dark places, Father. We ask, Father, for deliverance from addictions, Father, from abuses. Lord, would you come, Father, in power, and would you shake our city? Lord, we love you, and Lord, we want you to make your name and your renown great in our midst here. So Lord, here we are. Father, show us the work that's before us. Show us the fields that are white unto harvest. Show us the areas where you're moving. Give us ears to hear. We want to be wholly yours. We want to be with you and on your mission. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.